Right now, let's get the latest on the Executive Council and Mark Huell and his team and the Michigan High School Athletic Association and the press release that happened at about 2:30 this afternoon. Mark, how you doing?
Doing okay, Bill. Good to be with you. And I'm assuming I'm on today to talk about the Tigers' bullpen, yes?
Yeah, they were awesome last night. You can't talk about the night before. The night before, I personally drove to Detroit and was willing to drive four guys straight to Toledo on my dime. Last night, they were fabulous. It really was awesome to watch that bullpen. And I know baseball is close to your heart. And, man, as a sports fan, as a sports dad, as a man running the Michigan High School Athletic Association, if you go back to March, if you even, you know, look at your calendar today in your executive council meeting, you put out that press release at 2:30. This has been an emotional roller coaster for you like it has for all of us. Amazing.
It's been tough, you know, and what our action was today. And this, by the way, is you know, the product of getting countless numbers of emails and taking phone calls and all the feedback we're getting from our member school personnel, everything from the superintendent down to individual coaches and even, you know, hundreds of parent and family feedback. So we've gotten all kinds of input. We had, you know, we were on a call earlier this week with Dr. Caldoun, who is our state's chief medical officer. So the access that we've been given to the experts who were advising Governor Whitmer, we've you know, been allowed to come underneath that tent to get that kind of feedback and information, and then we're in literally daily conversations with the governor's office. And what we announced today is that it's going to be a phased-in approach to fall athletics. That really, by this phased-in approach, we're able to take sports that are in the three risk categories. So the low risk sports, which those four right now include golf, tennis, cross country, and then of course subject to indoor pools opening, swimming. So in all of our low risk sports, those practices and competitions can start on time as scheduled. Practices beginning on August 12th and then competition in two of those sports being able to take place a week later. Now, the three team sports that are left in the fall, which are moderate and high-risk sports of soccer, volleyball, and football, in those sports, again, with the phased-in approach, those practices also can begin. So soccer and volleyball can begin on August the 12th, and certainly volleyball is also pending the opening of school gyms, to which, you know, Governor Whitmer is going to have to provide more guidance on that here over the next week and a half to 2 weeks. And then with football, the first day of full player equipment practices, so the first day of real football practice, that has also been delayed until Monday, August the 17th. So what football can do starting on Monday, August 10th, is they can practice, but it's with helmets only. So the only player equipment that first week is helmets only, and really this is a kind of a new week of acclimatization, to where over the last 4 months, and especially a sport that's as physical as football, kids have not been able to get into their school weight rooms. Kids have not been able to go to Anytime Fitness or 24-Hour Fitness, or, you know, kids haven't been able to have that normal process of getting themselves ready to play. So that week of August 10th, we're going to allow coaches to work with kids. They're able to condition, they're able to do physical training, they're able to do skill work, to do all those things, but it's going to be in t-shirts and shorts and helmets, giving that full week for kids to get, you know, kind of back in shape and back to those kinds of things, which, to be honest, isn't all that different, Bill, than what we've allowed and what's been going on with all of our schools since June. But with that later start for padded practice being August the 17th, that's just another way that we can kind of phase in the start of the season. Now, in our three-team sports, soccer, volleyball, and football, right now, all games and competitions are on hold. What we're going to do is we're going to see what kind of start the athletic year gets off to. We're going to see how the low-risk sports navigate through their early part of the season. And then by August the 20th, we'll be able to give further guidance in terms of what the game schedules are going to look like for soccer, volleyball, and football. There could be a possibility, Bill, if everything gets off on just a wonderful and low-issue start, is schools start to get started during that period, there's a chance that on August the 20th, that we could give the green light that competitions may begin as scheduled for those sports. It could be a case of competitions get delayed, and then, of course, it could even be a case of is the numbers, we keep following those on a daily basis to where things get pushed back, maybe even into next spring. So the concept today is we are going to start the fall with a phased-in approach, starting with practices and competition for our low-risk sports, our moderate and high-risk sports, starting first with practice only and building in that special acclimatization period for our football kids, and then kind of seeing where the world is as of August 20th in terms of what we do for those team sports. I will tell you, Bill, and this will be the last kind of opening comment on this, is our board felt it was really important to have that practice opportunity for kids starting off the season in August. That, for example, if we would have said, you know what, we're going to wait the first month and nothing's going to happen until September 7th, I think you and I and most of your listeners know that there would then have been every AAU travel club non-school athletic organization ready to sign kids up for a nice, healthy registration fee, and there would have been a month of non-school soccer, volleyball, and you know what? And somebody would have been creative, and we would have had a new version of football, whether that was 7-on-7, whether that was something different. We really feel, Bill, if kids are going to get back to activity, it's going to be the safest at school with professional educators, that teacher/coach model that is prevalent in so many of our schools. And that's why we do have the support of the governor's office with this phased-in approach as we return to a fall athletics. And the other thing that we'll do is we'll continue, as we've talked about, Bill, in previous times before, is we'll continue to take things in small amounts of time. The easiest thing for us to have done today was just to cancel everything in the fall, just like what some of the southern states have done, and we just push everything back. That would have been the safest and easiest thing to do. When I say safe, it's certainly from a political standpoint right now, is, you know, we just say, nope, we're going to try it again in the spring. But what we're hearing from our schools is they try to reopen here for face-to-face education later in August, is, you know what, let's start small, let's start slowly, and if we have to delay and pause and give it some more time, we do have a plan in place that would allow us to do so.
Mark Huell, Executive Director of the Michigan High School Athletic Association, is joining us on the Huell Show across Michigan from his Lansing office. One note from that meeting earlier today, as I read from the WLNS story, the representative council of the MHSAA voted to cancel scrimmages in all fall sports for this school year and approve limitations on numbers of teams that may compete together at regular season tournaments, invitationals, and other multi-team events. And is that across the board for all sports in the fall?
Just for the fall sports to start, Bill, and part of that is kind of being able to control the controllables. So, for example, with scrimmages are all over the board in terms of our fall sports. In some sports, many schools will get together with neighboring schools and they'll scrimmage before their first game. Well, the concept is if we're trying to minimize as much risk as we can, let's only have kids from opposing schools get together when it really counts. That's for official games, matches, meets, and competition. So eliminating scrimmages was just a pretty easy way our board felt that they can minimize the risk. Ohio actually announced a similar approach of how they're going to handle scrimmages. The other thing that we did, and this really deals with the individual sports especially, is we want to try and limit the fields of some of these large invitationals. You know, before school starts, it was quite common that schools would have these large golf invitationals to where you'd have dozens of schools and you know, just a huge field of golfers. Well, what we did was that all regular season golf events take the number of holes. So if it's an 18-hole event during a day in August before school begins, you take each hole times four. So in an 18-hole event, you'd take 18 times four, and then that equals the total number of competitors or the size of the field, because you don't want more than four kids, one playing group per hole. And that way, when kids arrive at the course, they're already in their groups. They know that Bill, you're going to start on the 12th hole, and that Mark, you're going to start on the 7th hole. So we've done some things that way to where kids can arrive and go right to where they're going to start the competition and go. Same thing with cross country, limiting the number of teams that can be in a race, because the one part of concern for cross country is certainly at that starting line. And so by limiting those fields as well, and then what it also did in a team sport like volleyball is for some of these Saturday invitationals, to where there used to be dozens of teams in a facility, we've now limited that to four. So if you're going to have and you want to get together and have a dual or have a try or have a quad, it has to be with no more than four schools at a location. Again, allowing our schools to play regular season contest, but yet scaling the size of those down to try and control and minimize as much of the risk as possible. It really doesn't, other than no scrimmages, it doesn't do a thing with football, because all of those are just two teams show up and play. So no impact on football, but where it really will impact is in those sports to where you'd often have multiple teams in a one-day tournament or a large invitational type approach, and we just thought that was reasonable to do, given the situation that we are all currently in.
Now, that includes freshman, JV, and varsity teams at Michigan high schools for all those fall sports, correct?
It does. So there is. So, for Bill, for example, let's take soccer. No issue, because most soccer games are played in a doubleheader format, to where you've got the JV game at 5:00, and then the varsity game to follow. So, with an outdoor sport like soccer, you'd have the two JV teams on the game field. The two varsity teams could be stretching or warming up on an adjacent or an area field. But once the JV game ends, those kids will then clear the field, and then the varsity teams will come on. It'd be that same kind of concept in say volleyball, to where you might start an afternoon duel with the freshmen at 4, and we clear the freshmen out, and then the JV match at 5, and then the varsity at 6:00. So certainly it'll require some coordination, but limiting those numbers of the number of different schools that could be in an event just seemed to make a lot of common sense to our board this morning.
And for the high school football coaches and parents and players listening across Michigan, Mark Ewell, Executive Director of the Michigan High School Athletic Association, joining us with their updated fall sports guidelines. The week of August 10th may include football practice sessions consisting of conditioning, physical training, and skill work with no other player equipment except helmets. The week of acclimation is similar to allowed summer football activities that have been going on at schools since June, and August 20th would be the key date on scheduling, but Monday, August 17th would be, as of right now, the first day of pads in terms of practice, correct?
That's correct, and that, of course, is a delay. You know, that the padded practice would have happened during the week prior, but that again was just another way that with this phased in approach, we want to start small. And the other part of this, Bill, is, you know, everything that we're hearing from the health experts, even with the school startup, is they're encouraging districts that are going to have kids in face-to-face educational settings to try and start with small groups of kids. Well, on athletic teams, you've already got kids in those groups. They're really cohorts, to where the size of a cohort in golf might be 10 golfers and one coach, to where the size of that in volleyball may be a little larger, and then maybe, you know, a group of varsity football kids might even be even bigger yet. But that's a way that in early August, Bill, schools really can get some experience by, okay, it's keeping a defined group of kids together and getting them back here for instruction and activity. And a lot of our districts are really looking forward to this is a way to really learn some lessons that can be applied to the school building during the school day a week or two prior to the start of fall sports. So that's the concept as you keep. And again, we would encourage our football programs, when you bring kids in, that the freshman field and the freshman area, that's where the freshman team stays, and another area for your JV and the varsity, that this concept of, if you know, a smaller school and maybe you've got 100 kids in your whole program, freshman to varsity, that you do split those up into three separate groups in the, during the week of the 10th, especially when it's not padded, again, just to get kids physically moving again, to get them acclimated. What, you know, usually happens, Bill, of course, that first week of football practice is Michigan weather tends to give us awful hot and humid weather. It's, again, the previous 4 months have been unlike anything that kids have ever experienced. So giving them that full week back, pushing back and delaying the start of padded practice, just makes a lot of sense, not just from the virus standpoint, but just from an activity standpoint. And again, was another thing that our board did, which I think just makes a lot of sense.
Mark Ewell, Executive Director of the Michigan High School Athletic Association, is joining us on the Huge Show across Michigan, talking about the latest guidelines released at 2:30 this afternoon on fall sports at Michigan high schools. I'm getting a lot of text comments. What about schools that aren't doing face-to-face learning and everything online? How does that come into play with participation in sports at their local schools?
So ultimately, that's going to be a decision or a call that's going to be made by the school district. Now, do know that we've had kids that have been eligible for athletics in previous years who were taking online classes. It might have been a case of a person was maybe taking three classes physically at the school, and then maybe their afternoon was doing virtual education. And as long as those credits, whether they were done in a classroom in the building or being done online for credit that the school is accepting and putting on the school transcript, all that counts toward athletic eligibility. So a district who may be doing all online classes the first month, because that, I know of a couple districts that are already planning that, so practices begin in August, which in a lot of times are 2 or 3 weeks before some schools begin anyway, so that's not all that different. And then those districts that are doing all online or virtual classes during the month of September, all of that online coursework does count for athletic eligibility purposes. Schools can make those checks. And again, you want to talk about getting things off safely. So during that month of September, the kids that are coming onto the campus, again, are in those defined groups of kids by sport. Tends to be small groups. They tend to stay together. There's not mixing of kids, you know, during the school day. There's not mixing of athletes from different sports. And again, our districts are telling us that they really think there are some real lessons that they can learn during the startup of sports that they can then apply to when they're going to bring students in for face-to-face instruction. So that's some of the feedback we've gotten, but that is how the online or the virtual education in terms of athletic eligibility, that actually has not been a change, and that's been going on in some districts for a long time.
Now, if a area, the regions in the state of Michigan, if one is in four, let's say the Grand Rapids region, and they move back to three, and you have the Upper Peninsula is at five, there could be conferences and teams playing sports this fall and other schools not playing sports in Michigan.
Absolutely. And that's another reason, Bill, while, you know, we've done some things with today's announcement to where, again, we did push back the start of padded practice for football. We've kind of pushed back decisions on competition in our team sports. Is we need to see, I think there's going to be a lot of information that we're going to learn here over the next 10 days to 2 weeks. On Saturday, fall sports start in Ohio. Next Monday on August the 3rd, all fall sports start in Indiana. our two neighbors to the south, to where they're going to have a full week or a full 10 days of fall sport practices already that have taken place before we even begin. And I think there's some real lessons that can be learned from those experiences. And that's another reason why we're going to continue to meet regularly here with our board. And it is not out of the realm of possibility that we're going to almost be doing here a weekly type update, or a every 10-day update, as we get closer and closer to the week of August 10th and beyond. And you know, as you said leading into the segment, these are different times than any of us have ever lived through before. And yes, we would love to be able to say, well, here is exactly what things are going to look like, and here's exactly what's going to happen a month from now. And the one thing that this pandemic has taught us is you just have to slow down and just take things in very small increments of time. And the thing that we're hearing over and over again is that when it is safe to return to activity, that our folks will be ready to go. And that's why we'll just continue to communicate as best we can here as the coming days are ahead.
If any region in the state of Michigan has moved back to phase three by Lansing, then there'll be no high school sports in that region, correct?
Correct. That would end any face-to-face education, and based on the roadmap to reopen schools, athletic competition can only happen when a region is in phase four, phase five, or phase six. So no, a movement back to three would end sports in those regions. And of course, you know, if everybody can continue to do their part and mask up and do those things to give our kids a season, you know what, we're hopeful here, Bill, that if the numbers can you know, at least stay static or even begin to improve, you know what, the whole state moving to a phase five, I think is an attainable goal that all of us have. So if we can do our part here over the next few weeks, let's give our kids a chance here, and not just for sports, but for a successful start to our school year, because our young people, they need normalcy, Bill, more now than ever. And we're working hand in hand again with all of our school districts to try and get some normalcy back in August.
And to update everything, low risk high school sports can begin play and practice on August 12th and begin games and competition on their traditional start dates of August 19th and 21st. That would be lower risk sports, Lower Peninsula of Michigan girls golf, Lower Peninsula boys tennis and Upper Peninsula girls tennis, cross country, and Lower Peninsula girls swimming and diving may begin that practice on August 12th. And like I said, competition August 19th and 21st. High-risk sports in the state of Michigan: football, girls volleyball, and boys soccer may begin practice, but not competition. Decisions about competition timelines for those three sports will be made on August 20th. Practice for boys soccer and girls volleyball may begin on April or August 12th. Football will delay the start of their practice with full pads and equipment until Monday, August 17th, and then in terms of the scheduling of the high-risk sports, that date will be important on August 20th on whether or not they can move forward with the schedule. That is the latest for the Michigan High School Athletic Association, MHSAA.com, if you want to read through it yourself, at MHSAA on Twitter and MHSAA on Facebook. Mark Ewell, thanks for the update, my friend.
You bet, Bill. Good to be with you.
All right, Mark Ewell joining us from Lansing.